Thanks for tuning in to After Dark with Robin Andrew, which is available on America Out Loud's iHeartRadio channel, along with streaming on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please be sure to search for America Out Loud. In addition to that, we're available on AmericaOutLoud.news, which has thousands of podcasts and articles updated daily. We always appreciate it when you share that on social media. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We've got a lot to talk about today, of course, which is usually the case on Mondays. Fannie Willis escaped because of Judge Scott McAfee. Even after being caught perjuring herself, she is still allowed on the Trump case. Of course, lead prosecutor Nathan Wade was ordered to step down. The decision was that either Wade stepped down or that Fannie Willis would be removed from the case. So he voluntarily stepped down, apparently, after the judge made that statement. It just goes to show, once again, the bias against President Trump. I mean, there's no way this woman should be allowed to stay on this case. I'm hoping Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who's supposed to be a Republican, comes to his senses and removes her himself. Apparently there's some stirring out of his office that she is not out of the woods yet. So we'll just have to wait and see as far as that goes. But Rob, what were your thoughts on Judge Scott McAfee's decision to allow Fannie Willis to stay on this case?
Andrew, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Like you said, this is the opening show of the weekend. We usually try to do a roundup of all the news that occurred over the weekend, and definitely during the week that we were unable to cover. So I'm going to give you my take on Judge McAfee. I'm going to write his name down so that I don't forget, because, you know, we talk about so many topics here. We're subject to forget a name. And of course, if the mainstream media hears about it, they'll say, oh, look at them. They're cuckoo. They have memory loss. They have dementia. So I wrote down his name. So before I comment on that, Andrew, I want to get your thoughts on the story that's kind of going under the radar, and that's about Anthony Brunell, who happens to be what they call him, Jill Biden's work husband. He happens to be gay, and yes, we're going to say that because the Democrats are into identity politics. Happens to be gay. But apparently, he has been harassing some of the staff members, both men and women, talking about their sex lives, if they're married. As for the guy saying that, talking about their anatomy, I think we can say this on After Dark, about the penis size and that you can measure it by the thumb. He's been had some staffers going home crying, and he's untouchable. And this has been going on, Andrew, for some time. Now, you remember Joe Biden said that if he caught any staff member belittling another or harassing or being negative, they're out on their keister. Well, why is Anthony Brunell still there? We know that the White House Chief of Staff, Jeffrey Zients, issued a statement that this is all made up, it's not true. But the staffers don't lie. Someone is leaking this. And we also have to realize that this is the most closely knit White House. Barely anything gets out. So when something like this comes out, Andrew, it's got to be true. And I think this guy, I think he's a harasser. And I think he should be fired. But who in this administration has been fired? No one. They're either replaced, they either resign on their own, and then they end up on PMSNBC, like Jennifer Psaki, like what was the other, I think it was Biden's, oh gosh, I see her picture, her face right now, I can't think of her name. But no one is ever fired from this White House, regardless of the bad deeds that they're doing. I learned the other day that someone within the White House that helped to hide the documents, the classified documents, was recently promoted to a chief staff position. It's like, well, how is that for doing bad and then you get promoted? This White House will not demote you. They want to keep everyone there. Whereas if you think back, Andrew, during Trump's first days in office, he was firing people left and right. And you know how the media put it into context? They're saying he can't keep any good people. Why are people constantly leaving? Well, why is he constantly firing people? And they made it look bad. that he was firing. And even there were some conservatives who said, oh my gosh, he's firing too many people, as opposed to thinking, well, if they're not doing the job, he should fire them, as opposed to letting them stay on and collect a paycheck. He's showing you how it's supposed to be done. If you're not good, if you say you can do something and you don't do it, you're out. Alejandro Mayorkas, case in point. Why hasn't Biden fired him? The man has been disastrous over at the border, but he's still there. But
Yeah,
with Trump, he would get rid of him. Go ahead, Andrew.
in the Biden administration, you have to pretty much get arrested, like we saw with what was his name, Sam Brittain, the guy
Oh, Sam
stealing
Brittain. Yep.
the women's lingerie. It seems to be that's the only way you're going to get fired, when there's no choice because you're about to go to jail or something like that. But other than that, it seems like you're a lifer in the Biden administration. I mean, this guy doesn't fire anybody.
But you know,
He's got no spine whatsoever. Like we said, people criticized President Trump because he had a lot of turnover, but that's because when people weren't getting the job done, he'd fire them. You've only got a short time as president. You've got to make the most of it. Joe Biden's just keeping all this dead weight around him.
and they made it seem as if though it was a bad thing that Trump was firing, and it wasn't. It was a good thing because, as you said, if you can't get the job done, you need to get out. Make room for someone else. But I forgot about Sam Brittain. They let him go. They let him go, and they said, well, he has to deal with some other things, but he still had their support. And we can't forget about Sam Brittain. We need to make certain that this case sees a judge because, as we see with this administration, many people who do wrong, they're not held accountable. Look at the cocaine that
Yeah.
was found in the White House. No one has been held accountable, Andrew.
Look at the gay Congress sex tape. Nobody's been held accountable for that either.
Andrew, that is so true. No one has been held accountable.
Pulling the fire alarm, Jamal Mo Bowman got away with that. I mean, it's just example after example.
Jamal Bowman, Cory Bush. I was trying to think, I didn't want to say Cory Booker. Hey, you know, where is Cory Booker? We don't see him much. He's just like faded away.
Spartacus.
Right. I mean, Spartacus, he was a senator and he's faded away. We don't even see Spartacus anymore. But back to what we were saying, right? These Biden's White House, the Democrats, they're not held accountable for their bad deeds. And the media makes it seem as if though there's nothing here. I mean, this sex tape, clearly, Andrew, someone should have been held accountable. This guy was hoisted up on the table and doing whatever pleases him. And then the question also becomes, who was the other person behind him? It just faded away. The media doesn't want to talk about it. We know the CNN isn't going to talk about it. Neither will MSNBC. And then he goes, well, they're trying to sex shame me. They're trying to shame me because of my gender, because of my sexuality. No, you committed an offense on the House floor, the Senate floor, and you should be held accountable. But no one will hold them accountable. And just going back to the opening, your question to me about Judge McAfee. The old saying, rules for thee, not for me, and I get tired of saying it. This entire case should have been thrown out. Fannie Willis was compromised, as well as her boy toy. And for the judge to come and say, well, if you stay on the case, you're going to have to fire him. And if you keep him, you're going to have to let go of the case. Well, you knew that she wasn't going to just let the case go because she feels as though she's trying to protect democracy for the Biden White House. And then this judge who was appointed by Brian Kemp, he's up for election. So he's trying to straddle the fence to make certain, well, if I let her go, I might not get the votes of the black people because Fulton County is predominantly Democrat. And you have a lot of blacks there. So look at how low they think of blacks' ability to decipher what's right and what's wrong. Look at how they view blacks as far as them looking at, wait a minute, what she did was wrong. And Andrew, we got to hand it to her. This woman, I mean, she came out of the barnyard, I mean, bucking like a stallion, trying to defend her nefarious acts. She took the witness stand and she was popping her head this way, that way, and the judge allowed her to behave. Her behavior was completely beyond the pale. And then he does chide her on it. And he says that she goes to a church and she makes these pronouncements that she's being mistreated because of her race, because of her gender. And he said that's so unbecoming of a court official. Well, if it was so unbecoming, why didn't you just say you're off the case?
Yeah, that's one of these cases where the judge is seemingly saying everything that we'd want to hear as someone that's against Fannie Willis. And then all of a sudden at the end, he says that she can stay on the case. It makes no sense after all the evidence presented to him. And then her being caught perjuring herself with GPS tracking and everything. There's just a mountain of evidence against her and her improprieties with Nathan Wade. Yet here she is still on the case.
Still on the case. And as you mentioned, the judge said everything that we wanted him to say, what we wanted to hear. But I've always said it's the actions that count. People get mad at Trump because, oh, he's saying all these things, but look at his actions. Look at what he's doing. So this judge, who was appointed by Brian Kemp, who was really good friends with Fannie, he worked in her office, decided to throw her a lifeline. Now she's been quiet. Now, she did come out with a statement saying that she wants to thank her boy toy for the services that he has rendered. I wonder which services she was talking about. The services in her bedroom or the services in the court. She didn't distinguish it, Andrew. And it's fair to ask. That is a fair question to ask. And all those people who are saying, look at how they're treating this black woman. They're trying to talk about her sexuality. No, they're not. What she did was wrong. Stop trying to cover it up. Black women are more respectful than that. And to take it down that low and say, look at how they're treating her. They're always mistreating black women. No, because as we said before, Fannie didn't have to take the stand. Fannie could have very easily said, I'm not going to take the stand. I'm going to let my boy toy say whatever he wants to say. But when she realized that her boy toy, who, by the way, as I said, looks like George Floyd, and he looks like he's a complete idiot. When she realized that he wasn't doing a good job, she decided on her own and against Andrew, her counsel's advice, to take the stand. And that's when all of this started to mushroom and come out. Now, remember, folks, she denied there was a relationship. She claimed that everything was platonic. Then, once we started to find out there was, then she tried to deny as to when the relationship took place. So it was one lie after the other that was being covered up. We saw this all played out in real time on TV. There's no denying it. Her closest friend even said, yes, they had a romantic relationship. When you look at all of the receipts, them going on all these trips, I mean, they just weren't going there as friends. There was something else there. But we're supposed to think that there wasn't, Andrew.
Yeah, and they want us to believe they paid for all these trips and everything with cash. When, if you think about it, airline tickets and things like that, as far as I've always had to buy them, you usually use a card. So I find it very interesting. They're claiming that she used cash on all of this. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, Andrew. And if a person were to go in and purchase a ticket with cash, that's a red flag. And then it's usually tagged in the system for someone to investigate. No, maybe because she was in Atlanta, which is predominantly black, she went to an airport and they probably said, well, we know who she is. Let's just let her get away with it. And they probably also knew that she was carrying on an affair. A closer observation or an investigation would have exposed all of this, not that what we heard didn't expose it. So the judge saying that, well, you know, what she did was wrong. And he, again, he shied at her, but he should have kicked her off the case. And I hope Republicans are taking note of this, that if the tables were turned, the media would have pounced on this and would have demanded, they would have demanded that we got rid of the Republican that was trying the case. But in this instance, they would not. In this instance, they want to pretend as if though, oh, there's no big deal here. Let her stay on, which is what the judge did. And as you mentioned, I hope Brian Kemp is looking at this. I hope Republicans are looking at this because she should be investigated. Brian Kemp has the power to investigate her. Now, of course, Brian Kemp will look at this and say, well, I don't want it to seem as though this is all political. I want to stay out of it because we're already in a politically charged environment. But Brian, what do you care? That's what the Democrats want you to say. They're hoping that you take that stance. If the tables were turned, do you think they would take that stance? Look at what they're doing right now to Trump because they control the Justice Department, they're saying, hey, we're going to go after him and we don't care. They had 2 years to bring these cases before the courts, but they decided not to. They wanted to wait until he said, okay, I'm going to run. And then immediately they decided, well, we're going to raid Mar-a-Lago. We're going to go after him for this. We're going to go after him. We're going to make certain E. Jean Carroll. And this E. Jean Carroll deal, they changed the law midnight of December, I think it was 2020, so that they could go after Trump. And now, Andrew, here's the kicker, that law is about to expire. Now, how can you change a law to go after one person and then try to validate it? We need someone to exercise jurisprudence and come out and call this out and say, we know what you did, but it was wrong. Trump should win this case on an appeal, and the judge hearing it should spell out, this is the reason why he's winning. Not, well, we can say that we can quibble over did this happen or did it not happen, but for someone to go in and deliberately change the law to go after an individual, this is what Black people encounter all the time. So when I hear someone like Charles Barkley get mad and say, I'm going to slap someone if I see them with a Make America Great cap on, I'm going to slap someone who says that they support Trump because this has nothing to do. You can't tie the two together. When in essence, you can. You look at the ball players who have gone through something similar. You look at the late, great Kobe Bryant, who went through this false charge that he raped a white woman. And the list goes on and on and on. And then you want to tell me that you can't compare this to what Black men have been going through, the suffering of Black men who have been accused of committing crime. And then you have the legal system to pounce on them. And because they can't defend themselves, they're thrown in jail. You should be slapped, Charles Barkley, and every other Black man who stands up there and say, no, don't tie me into this, because you're the same Black man who want leniency. You look at all the Black man that Trump let out, got out of jail, reduced their sentences. And that's the reason why you have a lot of Black rappers that are looking at Trump and saying, no, we stand behind him, because they see what's happening. You look at Snoop Doggy Dogg, who once Trump was elected, he decided to go dance with the liberals and talk about Trump, create videos shooting Trump. Fast forward now, he's saying, well, you know, Trump is a good man because of the things that Trump has done. Black people, wake the heck up, because they're using you. They're using your vote to put them in office, and then you get nothing in return. So trying to defend Fannie for something that she did, and when you look at the record, she probably put more Black men in jail than Kamala Harris, who had exculpatory information that she withheld and then laughed when Black men were put in jail, Andrew. It's shameful. And Black people need to wake up. We need to call Fannie out. We need to call out this entire Fulton County. And as I said before we go to break, you got to remember that this is the same county and the same jail that Martin Luther King was thrown in. And although the media doesn't want to say it, and although you have the Al Sharptons and Vance Jones saying, oh, no, you can't compare the two, I'm going to compare the two because I want you to know the truth.
Yeah, very well said, Rob. We still got a lot to talk about tonight. Don Lemon has returned on X, but it only lasted a short time. Chris Cuomo appeared on Tucker Carlson trying to have a comeback. And a tragic story of an 11-year-old boy who was killed defending his mother. All that and a lot more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, which is available Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
The pandemic may be over for some. but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they've found the solution. The miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop. And use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
We are back here on After Dark, Robin Andrew. And as I mentioned before the break, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll start off with Don Lemon, who thought he had a big contract with Elon Musk X to be a new content creator on that platform. Unfortunately for him, Elon Musk decided to let him go before the first episode even aired. He decided to interview Elon Musk for his first episode on X. And apparently Elon Musk was not impressed, said it's just more of the same CNN Don Lemon. It's nothing different than what you'd see on CNN or MSNBC. And that's not what they're looking for on X. So he decided to let Don Lemon go. But he said Don Lemon's welcome to post his show on the platform. He's just not going to be monetized like he originally was when they had their talks. Not a big surprise, Don Lemon is struggling to find some footing after being fired from fake news CNN. Of course, Chris Cuomo's on the comeback trail as well. Saw him appear on Tucker Carlson. It was a pretty interesting interview, I guess you could say. Chris Cuomo apparently reached out to Tucker after Tucker was fired from Fox News, and they've become pretty good friends, actually. It's funny seeing Cuomo basically bring up Tucker picking on him all the time and making fun of him all the time on his Fox News show. And Tucker basically said, well, I just didn't really know you, and you did act like an idiot, so obviously I'm going to make fun of you. And there's a lot of other revelations in that interview, like there was a time where Brian Stelter, Humpty Dumpty, was going to come after Tucker Carlson's family, and Tucker said that he personally called Jeff Zucker and told him about it, and he said Jeff Zucker shut down that story from Brian Stelter, so he appreciated that. Just a lot of interesting little tidbits in that interview with Chris Cuomo and Tucker Carlson. If you get a bunch of free time, maybe check it out. But nonetheless, Chris Cuomo seems to be doing a little bit better for himself than Don Lemon so far since being fired from CNN. What do you make of these disgraced former CNN anchors trying to be on the comeback trail?
You know, Andrew, I didn't see the interview with Tucker and Chris. I saw different snippets, but I didn't really focus in on it. But I'm not surprised that the two had a sit down. I mean, it's going to make news. And this is what journalists are supposed to do, is to stick together. And we don't see that in the news today. We see them trying to trounce on each other, which was the case with those two. But it was fair, because Tucker was calling out Chris for all of his, you know, the stupidity that was taking place at CNN, the fake news, and the attacks that they were levying against Trump, and they were only doing it for ratings. And we see that's evident now, because CNN is tanking. They fired Lemon, and that show with the two women, that's hit the bumps. They've gotten rid of that. I mean, there's nothing good happening over at CNN but fake news. But what you shared about the interview, I didn't know that had happened, that he had Brian Stelter, and how Tucker had reached out to the CEO of CNN and said, hey, you know, can you do something about this? But this just goes to show how vicious the people on the left are. They're very dangerous. And then you have Don Lemon, Elon Musk giving him a lifeline, and his approach with this story. And I think this was all baked in the cake for Don Lemon, as Tucker Carlson used to refer to him as. And as former President Trump said, he's the dumbest man on TV. And that's, I think that's true. But he reached out to Elon, as Elon said during the interview. He said, well, you reached out to me and I don't have to answer any of these questions. And I guess Elon realized that during the interview where Don Lemon was going with this. And I also think that Don Lemon probably reached out to some of his buddies at CNN after he got the $24 million. You guys do realize that he got a $24 million payout from fake news CNN after the firing. Now, Chris Cuomo was asking for more. I don't know if he got it or not, but I think they're in litigation. But for Don Lemon, I do think, Andrew, that he reached out to the folks at CNN and said, no hard feelings. By the way, I'm getting ready to do an interview with Elon Musk, and you might want to cover this because I'm going to ask him some rather hard-hitting questions, which is what he did. And Elon realized that this is along the same lines of what came out of fake news CNN, so I don't want to have anything to do with it, so I'm going to cancel the show. And as you said, he mentioned that if Don Lemon wants to post his show on X, he's welcome to do it, but he's not going to monetize it. So, of course, what does Don do? He runs to fake news CNN and say, well, this is what the show was about, and this is what I did. He also went to those heckling hands on The View to talk about the show. And again, this is all in hopes of gaining attention to his show, hoping that people will now be drawn to his show. But I heard, Andrew, that if he's not monetized, if he doesn't have that support by Elon Musk, that he'll probably make, I would say, like $45 a show. Wow. Just putting the show up there.
Yeah, I heard that he's decided to move it to YouTube as the main carrier of the show. And yeah, that does not sound good.
Well, and I wonder
$45 a show.
Right, who's going to watch it on YouTube? But it's a liberal bastion. You know, it's really sad that how a lot of these social media platforms have decided to go the route of, you know, of censoring free speech.
And you know what's going to happen is this interview, when he releases it, of Elon Musk will blow up and get a lot of views because it's Elon Musk, and people will be going, see, look how popular Don Lemon is. See, Elon shouldn't have canceled his show. But then after maybe Don Lemon's second or third show, everyone's going to forget about him again and not care.
Right. It's not going to last long. People will forget about him. He'll be an afterthought because he doesn't have anything. The only thing he had going for him at the time was fake news CNN, you know, and they were pulling him, you know, pulling together these advertisers. But no one was watching the show. No one was watching the content. Now, as far as Chris Cuomo, I have flipped over from time to time on News One just to see what he's talking about. And he's the old Chris Cuomo who appreciated the news back when he was on ABC before it became desensitized, so to speak. He tries to go out and, you know, raise questions, but I'm done with him. I don't want to see him anymore. I'm through with these fake news journalists, Andrew.
Yeah, he just got a job with Patrick McDavid at Valuetainment, and Patrick McDavid got a lot of backlash for bringing in Chris Cuomo, because his show's very conservative, and people are like, why would you bring this guy onto your network? It's just going to lower the quality of your shows. This makes absolutely no sense. But nonetheless, Chris Cuomo is now with Patrick McDavid on Valuetainment. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes, him having debates with Republicans all the time. Because like you said, he's still the same CNN Chris Cuomo. He's a little more reasonable, perhaps, in some of his statements when he's debating conservatives than he was when he was left to his own devices. But yeah, I've got no use for the guy. I personally don't want to see any more of him.
I'm not familiar with that station that you're referring to, or that network, that media conglomerate. But I would venture to say what's going to happen is that Chris is trying to make a name for himself because they're probably reading the tea leaves, and the tea leaves is telling them that Trump is going back into office. And if Trump goes back into office, they need to switch over. If Trump goes back into office, a lot of this craziness, these lies that are taking place, are going to probably be finally squashed after how many years of it being out there. So they're probably reading it. He's probably thinking, you know, I need to change up a bit. I need to change up a bit. I need to let people see that I am willing to go into the lion's den and talk to Republicans. But I would caution Republicans that you need to be careful. We saw this weekend that Trump did an interview on Fox News with the guy Berman, and I'm completely against it. When I saw that, I'm like, why would you go on? This guy is a complete hack. He started out on fake news CNN, and then they kicked him off because he was being truthful during the 2016 campaign, and he was calling people out for attacking Trump all the time. But then, so they got rid of him, and then he decided to appear on Fox, and he's now has a show, Media Buzz. So Trump went on Media Buzz, and I'm like, you know, Trump, I understand he wants to reach out to all these different groups, and you should do that. But I think that he needs to be more deliberate for these shows.
That Media Buzz show is awful. I'm familiar with it. I've heard it before. And yeah, I can just picture the host now that you say that. Yeah, that show is awful. I don't know why this guy is given a platform on Fox News. A lot of times on the weekend when I'll turn on Fox News Radio, they'll have Media Buzz. It's like, come on, this show is garbage. It's definitely usually time to switch over to America Out Loud. When I hear
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the host is Howard Kurtz. I used to like him. And when he moved over to Fox, Andrew, he was good. But then after Trump became president, the show just went downhill. And I saw a lot of biases there. And I thought, I can't watch this guy.
Nikki Haley was on his show all the time in the past few months. And yeah, this guy was just kissing Nikki Haley's rear end and bashing Trump every time he had her on. Showed me where his true colors lied. And he's just another never Trumper, another Karl Rove, and people like that who have never liked President Trump. Although, like you said, he was saying some of the right things at one time, but probably just a never Trumper.
He wanted to be part of the parties. He wanted to be invited to the parties. The same way with Neil Cavuto. I don't care for Neil Cavuto. I don't watch the show. It's just, I don't know. There's just something about the quality. Even what was the guy's name that they have on? Brett Baer. I used to like him. And I find myself going to Newsmax when I'm not listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew or America Out Loud. I find myself going to Newsmax and listening to Greta Van Susteren, who used to be on Fox and they got rid of her because she has a legal background and she's able to dissect the news. Whereas I think that Brett Baer gives a lot of his opinion. He tries to give this like stoic look, like you can't read him. But in the end, you're like, yeah, I don't know about that. And Trump likes going there to be interviewed. And again, he does it because he wants to show that I am not afraid to step into the lion's den. I'm not afraid to go and reach out to different people. I get it. But he gets back into office, he has got to discern these different news outlets, especially the ones at the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, because she's a walking, talking lie. Everything she makes up. And she always claims that she has the insight to Trump. And I can see Trump right now wanting to give her an interview. And he has to know that whatever you say, she's going to misconstrue it. And then you're going to come out and say, oh, it was a bad interview. Oh, I don't like her. Then why did you give it? Okay. You can't do it. You know, you just got to stop giving these people access. And I remember Kellyanne Conway saying, I've talked to him and I said, don't give them access. I don't care if they consider themselves to be the creme de la creme of journalism. They're going to lie. You cannot convince them otherwise. They're already on to knowing that you think that you can convince them and they don't care. They're going to want to say what they want to say. So the next thing, I wouldn't be at all surprised, and I say this to lead into, I wouldn't at all be surprised, Andrew, if Chris Cuomo's camp is reaching out to Trump and say, oh, come on, come on. I'm telling you, I bet you anything they're reaching out to him. Chris Cuomo wants to sit down, and he's probably saying, tell him I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to do this. And you know what, Andrew? I think that Cuomo would probably try to be fair as much as he can. But I wouldn't give him the time of day. I wouldn't give him the time of day. And again, it just goes back to Trump as a capitalist. And he's probably looking at this saying, you know, I will reach that audience also. And I need those people to vote for me. I get it. But if you go there and if you say something, even if it's in jest, they're going to take it and they're going to run with it. The same way he said in jest about, I'll be a dictator for one day. You know, we understood it. I mean, New Yorkers are brass. They talk like that. But that's all the media wanted to hear. And now you hear them saying it all the time on The View. Well, remember, he said he's going to be a dictator. Remember, he said this. That's all they want. I mean, you look at the whole thing with these trials that are coming up. You do one thing, they take it and they misconstrue it. That's all they want to do. They want to have a soundbite so that they can run with it and tell the people, you see that? We told you so. We told you. And then we hear all the time, well, Trump said he's going to go after his enemies. Okay, well, this is what I want to ask Andrew when they say it. What enemies are you referring to? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. Well, the media. Well, why would he consider them to be an enemy? Well, because of the way we reported on him. And what did you report on? And I want you to be specific, because a lot of the stuff you reported on were lies. He's not coming after you for that. He's just making certain that we uphold the law. And you guys have been lying to the American people day in and day out. So Trump has to be careful, because that's what they want. And I bet you right now, Chris Cuomo's folks, they're knocking on his door. Give us a chance. We'll be fair to Mr. President. We'll be fair. And they're probably trying to wine and dine him. I'm telling you, Andrew, this is going on behind the scenes. I wouldn't at all be surprised if Don Lemon is reaching out to him. Trump has got to turn them down. He has to resist, because they don't mean him any good. They want to get him there. And then once they do, they're going to ask him about the trials. Well, what do you think about this? Well, do you think that you should have held those documents? And why this and why that? And if I were Trump, I would just say, but the way you guys are reporting on this, that I had all these documents, you do realize that all of the pictures that you guys were showing, there was something else in those boxes, as opposed to the 180 pages that Jack Smith claimed he found. Because that didn't even have to fit into a box. That could have fit into a small envelope, a manila envelope. See, this is where he's got to be careful, Andrew.
Yeah, we're already seeing seemingly them making up evidence against President Trump, and that's being brought to light in a lot of different cases. So things are certainly turning for President Trump. These cases are getting delayed. Keith Olbermann and other Democrats are having meltdowns because it's looking like President Trump will not be in quote-unquote jail before the election, which is what they were hoping for. But there's still a lot of time left, so we'll see what happens. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, which is available on America Out Loud's iHeartRadio channel Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, or 6 p.m. on the West Coast. You want to check out a great shop? Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. Tons of books and other great products written by authors that have appeared on America Out Loud. So be sure to check out AmericaOutLoud.shop. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutLoud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We're back here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Just going to round up the show with some of these horrific news stories that have taken place over the past week or so. Starting off in Chicago's North Side, an 11-year-old boy who was killed protecting his pregnant mother after this guy that she'd been struggling with domestic issues with for a couple of decades was just released from prison the day before. He broke into the house to inflict harm on the mother, who was defended by her 11-year-old son. Very brave young man, a hero as far as I'm concerned, putting his life on the line to defend his mother at 11 years old. I shouldn't even call him a boy because he was definitely a man in that moment. However, the tragic thing is this 11-year-old was murdered by this thug who was released from prison. And it's just another sad story of what we see in Chicago and the mainstream media just completely blows over this story. Instead of calling out the murderer, talking about how this kid, this little boy, is a hero for defending his mother, and they just ignore it all because it doesn't fit their narrative. It's just very sad. Rob, what do you make of this story? It's not unlike others that we've read in the past, but we see it just glazed over by mainstream media. So we're going to try and make more of an effort on After Dark with Rob and Andrew to seek out stories like this and bring attention to them.
Yeah, and we should. This is just an indication that Black lives don't matter to the Democrats. We have Mahogany Jaguar Jackson, who was killed, another Black woman who was killed. I thought Joy Reid would have mentioned it, but she didn't. This Black girl was killed around the same time that Lakin Riley was killed. And Joy Reid had every opportunity to bring up Mahogany Jaguar Jackson's name, but she didn't. You know why? And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this about the women on The View also. They didn't say anything about it because Mahogany is Black. And the people that killed her, they were Black also. May her soul rest in peace, but they'll say nothing about it. They'll just gloss right over it. Meanwhile, they're looking for an instance whereby a white man kills someone who's Black. Shame on these people. Shame, shame, shame. Because every life mattered. And like you said, this 11-year-old kid defending his mom. Where is the outcry? I mean, they're too busy, they being the Democrats, and letting people out of jail to inflict more pain. You look at New York City just last week, a shooting in the subway. Yes, the subway that Eric Adams said is safe. The subway that Mayor Eric Adams said, oh, ridership is up. The subway that Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York City, is saying that she wants the National Guards to come in and to check people's bags. Check their bags for what? They're not the police. If someone had a gun, what are they going to do? I mean, this is a wasted expense. You had a shooting on the subway. Before then, you had another stabbing on the subway, in the subway station. We see this all the time, Andrew, being repeated over and over again. Well, someone would say, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you the difference between the shooting that took place last week, whereby the assailant was killed. Apparently, he was fighting another man, got into an argument. And the other man was either, and I'm going to say this, because we have to, because Democrats and two identity politics, we have to make this known. The liberal media won't talk about it, but I will. The man was Black. He's a man who was killed. He had a gun in his duffel bag. Now, I guess the National Guards that Kathy Hochul was putting out there didn't help matters because he was able to board the train. And when you're on a train, you're packed in like sardines, so anything could happen. When I get on a train, I'm always scanning everyone. And I make certain that you can walk between trains sometimes if they don't lock the door, that I can very easily get out if need be. So anyway, they get on the train, and this is during the, I think, rush hour. Something happens, the two men start to argue, and then the Black man, I think he starts trying to beat up the other man who is either Hispanic or Black, but he's light-skinned. So they get into a tussle. And then a woman, we don't know if she was friends with the guy, the Hispanic man, stabs the Black man. The Black man goes, oh, you stabbed me? So he then goes to his small little duffel bag and takes out a gun. and starts walking on them as if though he's going to shoot them. Somehow, the Hispanic man or black man manages to wrestle the gun from him, and he shoots the black man, and the black man is dead, and the woman with the knife, she flees the scene. We don't know where she is. Now, here's the stark difference, because this was investigated. As of now, Andrew, the Hispanic man has not been arrested. As of now. So it would lead me to believe that he's either Hispanic or black, or might be black Hispanic, but he hasn't been arrested. And no one has been crying for him to be arrested. Now, what does this remind you of Daniel Penny, who was defending people on the subway? They didn't arrest him, and then there was an outcry, you need to arrest him. And just like that, Alvin Bragg stepped in, okay, we're going to arrest him. What for? Are you guys seeing how this is being played out? No one is saying anything about it. We don't have judges that are saying this makes no sense. We don't have lawyers that are running in and saying, we're going to put all of our star power, our jurisprudence behind Daniel Penny, because we're going to get him out and we're going to show you that this is how justice is supposed to work. No one has said anything. They're letting this play out. And this poor man, Daniel Penny, has to live each day of his life wondering, are they going to take my life from me? Because you're in liberal New York City. And I don't care if the prosecutor is put on a bad case or not. It depends on the instructions that the judge gives the jurors. And if you got a bunch of liberal jurors on there who are looking at the white man, they'll say guilty. And then they will card him off. You see what's happening in our cities? We opened the show talking about Fannie Harris. Rules for thee, not for me. How the judge, a liberal judge, should have kicked her off the case, and then someone should have said, we're going to bring charges against her. We're still waiting for the Democrats. We're still waiting for the attorney general there to say we're going to bring charges against her.
Yeah, just a quick correction. Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis. What did I say? Fannie Harris?
Yeah, got two of them mixed up, I guess.
Well, thank you for correcting me.
They're both on the same level.
right, they're both at the same level.
I could see how you'd make that mistake.
You know, and I'm probably saying that because, again, you look think about when Kamala Harris was the attorney general in California, and you look at what she did, withheld exculpatory information that would have gotten blacks off. And we also got to remember this. I want to throw this in also. Last week, Kamala Harris visited an abortion center. Really? No candidate has ever done that. No presidential candidate has ever done it. No vice president has ever done it. But she did it. As a black woman or a woman mixed, I don't know what she was referring to herself now. So she's signaling, it's okay to have an abortion. We got your back. They don't value life. They certainly don't value the life of black people. They say that white people are trying to kill black people, but then they cart black people off to abortion clinics to kill the babies. The birth rate in the United States for the first time in a long time is extremely down. We should be concerned about that, but we're not. They're telling us not to be. Because they're busy trying to cart over illegals. And what are the illegals doing? Well, let's just see here. What are they doing? Lincoln Riley. Look at what happened to that family.
Yeah.
And she's not the only one, Andrew.
Yeah, over 10 million illegals since Biden's came into office, not to mention all the anchor babies these illegals are having since they've gotten here. And then, as you said, our own population is decreasing. Because people aren't having as many kids as they used to. So, yeah, we're going to see a real demographic change here in the next 10 to 15 years that a lot of people have been predicting. Some people have called it the Great Replacement Theory and said that that's a conspiracy. But nonetheless, that's what we're seeing happen here in the United States. The demographics are certainly changing and quick.
And it's all by design. And here's the kicker, because I would say 2 decades from now, those people who came here illegally, they will be shouting and screaming, saying they don't want other illegals to come here because they're not Americans. Well, you're not Americans either. Okay, those 10 million folks that are here, I don't know how, Andrew, but we got to get them out. And if we don't get them out, we've got to do as President Trump said. We've got to set up these restrictions and say, you have to be here for 2 decades before you can be considered a citizen, before you can even apply for citizenship. 2 decades, and you must have a stellar record. And on top of that, you can't vote for another 10 years. Because it's going to be next to impossible, Andrew, to cart them all out. It will be impossible. And as for the anchor babies, Congress needs to come in together and say, no more anchor baby. You can't say, well, he was born here. He's no, absolutely not. And we're doing it for the protection of the country, Andrew, because the people who are benefiting from this. Now, I know that a lot of people are looking at, well, we got the Mexicans, they're having babies, or the Hispanics, or whatever. But the people who are really going to benefit, Andrew, are the Chinese. They're the ones who are going to benefit. And they play the long haul game. They don't look at, oh, 2 years from now. They look at 20 years from now. And just imagine an anchor baby being born here from China, making all kinds of contact. And you have all the other Chinese that are coming here. Before long, Andrew, you will see a Chinese sitting in the White House spreading communism. See, I bet you guys thought, oh, well, that's xenophobic. No, spreading communism because they're not true to the country. They're not true to our values. They're not true to the United States of America. They're only loyal and true to their mother country, which is China. If China doesn't go down, this will be the plan. And I wish people would wake up and see it. I wish Black people would wake up and see it. They're always pointing the finger at white people, and that's by design. They want to keep Black people and white people at each other's throats. In the meantime, they're both being removed by illegals who are destroying the country, destroying our way of life, and turning the country into a third world country. We need to get some more land, Andrew, and build another United States of America. Maybe that's the reason why Elon Musk is looking at going up into space. So those that love the country can go there. And those that don't can stay here and continue ripping it apart. Now, I want to mention one other case, Andrew. Well, we're talking about crime. Kaylee Gaines, a young girl from Missouri, she attended Hazelwood East High. I don't know if you guys have seen the graphic pictures or videos or not of this poor girl going to identity politics. She happened to be white, was beaten to a pulp, brutally beaten. Every beating is brutal by a Black girl about the same age. I think they were probably 15 or 16. This Black girl jumped on top of this white girl and was just pounding her head into cement. We've seen this before, Andrew. Not too long ago, there were three Black guys that shot or beat up a white kid. Very little has been said about it. And no one's supposed to say anything about it because it's almost as if though Black people can get away with murder. Now, the assailant is in jail, apparently, and they're saying they want to try her as an adult because the crime she committed as if though she was an adult. But meanwhile, this family, Kaylee Gaines, she's in intensive care, brain swelling. Now, I know that there are some that are out there wondering, well, what happened? What caused this? Yeah, we can always ask what caused it, what was said. And I'm sure there's some Black people probably saying, well, she probably called her the N-word. Is she probably this or she, you know, a lot of probably this and probably that. And as I've said before on this show, this generation of kids, I don't know what they call them, GZ or G, whatever, born in 2000, even the ones born in 1990s, they have grown up in the most desegregated society ever. The society has not been segregated. They have grown up playing with children of all backgrounds. And if it wasn't for these woke liberals trying to toss in their faces every day, remember, you're Black, he's white, remember, you're a this and you're a that, Andrew, they wouldn't even know about it. You look at the playground, they're playing together. No one is talking about what color you are you. They go to school and they hear this. They go to school. I got to share this with you guys. I went to my son's school last week because I had an issue with the context study that they were going to be studying, a book from this guy, Black guy, Ibram X. Kendi. And you guys have probably heard about him. He came to fame shortly after the George Floyd, and they started pushing his book about racism and how racism is taking place, and they were pushing it about how you can stamp out racism. And when I saw it, I thought, are you serious? I immediately contacted my son's teachers, and I said, I don't agree with this. I don't want this. What is happening? This book is not brought up in our household. Absolutely not. So they reached out to me. They said, oh, well, let's have a meeting where we're going to talk. I said, okay, fine. So I went in and we spoke and I told them why I didn't like him. And I said that there are other authors that you can, there are other authors that you can write about or talk about. I'm like, how could you bring this person who is completely, in my opinion, And I think I'm right, a racist. I was Andrew, I was shocked. I was shocked to learn that they were doing it. And I told them, I met with them and the principal. I said, it is as if though you guys are pushing an agenda. It is not your responsibility to try to co-parent with the parent. That is our responsibility. We're supposed to do that. But see, they didn't. They looked at it as like, oh no, we're going to bring this in and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about racism. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. And you know what? The two teachers hadn't even read the book. And then they told me, well, you know, this is just part of, you know, our context study, critical thinking. We want them to read it. Then we're going to say, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? I said, that's my job as a parent. You should be teaching them how to read and to write. Most of the kids that are in school right now, Andrew, they can't write cursive writing. They can't even read it. They can't spell. Their spelling is atrocious. And when you ask the teachers of the school, well, why aren't you? Well, that's not part of the curriculum because we feel that now everything is on computer and the computer will self-correct it. But still, they should know how to spell. When I was in fifth grade, I was a great speller. I mean, starting in second grade, you would take home a list, a group of words that you would learn to spell. You don't have that in schools anymore because all the schools are woke. They're busy trying to teach kids about social justice and being activists. And I mentioned that to them. I'm like, they don't need to be activists. That's not your job. If they want to gravitate toward that, then they'll do it. And being an activist isn't even a job unless you're a Democrat. And then they will pay you. George Soros will put you on his payroll. And if you get in jail, Kamala Harris will send out tweets on X to get you out. But no one is there to say anything about Kaylee Gaines, about the 11-year-old Andrew who lost his life, or about Lake and Riley. No one is there. Our society is upside down. Our society is messed up. And that is the reason why our justice system performs the way it does, because the Democrat has weaponized it against law-abiding citizens. And then they're allowing the people to try them who are just as corrupt to have the final say. And that is a reason why we must make certain that this election cycle, we put aside what people, oh, I don't like, but they hurt my feelings. We need to look at their actions. And the action has to be to restore the country back to the way it should be, law and order. And that's it, Andrew.
Yeah, you're right. And if this assailant that attacked Kaylee Gain is not tried as an adult, that would be a huge miscarriage of justice, and people should be rightfully outraged. Kaylee Gain has a GoFundMe set up. Around $350,000 has been raised for her on her road to recovery. Hopefully they don't shut it down like they're so known to do for any of these GoFundMes that seem to help people that don't fit the liberal narrative. So we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're all out of time. We've got some great shows lined up the rest of the week. BB Diamond, Heather Robinson will hopefully be joining us. So stay tuned for that. Thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Robin Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, wherever you stream, or go to AmericaOutLoud.news. We'll see you next time. Remember, stay in for something or fall for nothing.